on the author and finisher of our faith, who is Jesus Christ. So in everything, he is our supreme example. And that is why, I guess, the Americans many years ago came up with the literal acronym which says WWJD. Does anybody know what that acronym stands for? Only Betty knows, I think, but yeah, okay. WWJD means, what would Jesus do? Okay, the Americans came up with that acronym some years ago. What would Jesus do? So whenever you're in a situation, they say, whenever you're in a situation and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to behave, you don't know how to answer, you don't know how to react, say the WWJD, what would Jesus do, is what you should ask yourself, they said. Maybe it works, I don't know. But it has some truth in it, because he is our supreme example. And I want to really look at how Jesus actually, just look at an aspect of how Jesus dealt or how he valued his relationship with God, his Father. And an aspect of not only how he valued it, but what he committed to it to reflect the value. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me to first Mark chapter 1, which we have done before on various occasions, but I feel that we need to just one last time look at Jesus in here. So I'm going to ask everybody, if you have your phones or whatever it is you're holding, to just turn to Mark chapter 1 for me, please. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 is to 37 is what we are going to read. I'm going to read from my version. I'm sure everybody has a different version, but let us just, you know, keep together. Let us honor the Lord as we read his words together. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 to 37. And this is what it says. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Simon and his companions went searching for him. They found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." I'll read it one more time. Verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Simon and his companions went searching for him. They found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." So in this one act that Jesus did, we see what he did and we see how he valued his relationship with God. And in this relationship, what Jesus did is he actually created time. He created time to be with God. And I know that a lot of young people, and this will of course not apply to everybody, but a lot of young people are struggling with creating time. And when I say creating time, is like you don't kind of go like wave a magic wand and make sure that you have a 25th hour in the day. That's not what I mean. Okay? But Jesus created the time. He created the space. He created the environment to make sure that he was with God, to make sure that he spent time with God. And even in this act that we see that Jesus acted, it's not a one-off act, because in Luke chapter 5, verse 15, we see that this was Jesus' habit. It says in Luke chapter 5, verse 15, "But the news about him spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses." Verse 16, "Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed." He often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. This was Jesus' habit. It was a habit that Jesus had. And we too need to grow that habit, to develop that habit. That's why the Lord has been over the past 6 months, you know, speaking to you guys about the daily devotional, about the rule of life, about developing a walk with God that is personal, a habit that makes and enables it for you to connect with God every single day. And Jesus made that his habit, even when he was in demand. Even when he was in demand. And I know that each one of us have, you know, time demands that come from left, right, and center to us. You know, academic demands, social demands, work demands. But within all these demands, we need to make time. We need to create the time to spend with God. We need to be having a habit of walking with God personally in our lives, because Jesus was intentional in creating a distraction-free zone so that he can connect with God. It is in our hands to do that. Nobody else can do that for us. And that's why Paul says to the Colossian Christians in chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, he says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. It's in your hands. You are responsible. You are the person in command of your own life. Not even your parents are. Your time is yours to command. And Jesus created that time and made sure that he was actually meeting with God. How determined are you to create that time? How determined are you not only to create that time, but like Jesus did? What Jesus did, the Bible says, while it was still dark, while everybody was sleeping, he went to a desolate place. He created the space that would be without distraction. And there he prayed. I'm going to leave that with you, for you yourself, because as I said, you are the one who is in command of your own life and your own time. Jesus, if needed and required, this was a sacrifice. He came out, while it was still dark, it says, while it was still dark, there was a sacrifice to be paid. And I know sacrifice is a very, maybe, alien notion to many of us today, but maybe some of us need to sacrifice half an hour's sleep each day. Maybe we need to. Maybe we need to. Maybe we need to sacrifice some of the time that we're spending on social media. Maybe we need to sacrifice some of the time we're watching all these different episodes back to back of whatever it is that we're following. But sacrifice, we must. If you don't sacrifice, you're not going to make time. You're not going to create time. You're just going to waste it. Some of the younger folk that I know are like nonstop on Snapchat. Sometimes I've not seen this, I've not evidenced this, but I sometimes think even in church and in cell groups. I think so. We're so attached and addicted to it. But if you don't depart from those things that are holding you captive, you will never make the time for God. Jesus not only left while it was still dark, but he departed from those things that would hold him back from meeting with God. I just, you know, mentioned Snapchat randomly, but there are others. Some people watch some movies and series that they watch back to back, hundreds of them, and it takes up so much of your time. It just takes you up. It's held you captive. You don't even know it. You're held captive by it. If you're not ready to sacrifice, you're not going to make the time. We need and start to sacrifice, guys. And Jesus made sure that he was intentional in creating such a time and such a distraction-free environment where he could meet with God and connect with God. And the rule of life that we introduced several months ago basically is nothing but a framework that enables us to connect with God, that helps us to make that sacrifice. I know some people like to sleep a lot. Be sleeping 9-10 hours a day. Some young people. Am I right? So that happens, but we need to sacrifice. We need to sacrifice. I think that in the olden days when there was no social media, there was no, you know, the digital platform that you guys are on nonstop, some people, I know young people would would have been engrossed in books that they were reading, you know, in comics that we were reading as young people, you know, in different sports. And that's one thing also I expressed the other day. Different sports, you know, we are nonstop watching sports. We have time for football, for rugby, you know, for whatever it is, but we don't want to make time for God. Sacrifice, we must. Sacrifice, we must. There's just no other way, guys. And the sooner you know it in your Christian life, the better and well prepared you are. And very often, as I have said this repeatedly, one of the things that I would like to say is that it's not to take away from your academic pursuits. It's not to take away from the other things that you do. But if we do things in the right amount, there's enough time for God in our lives. And it doesn't mean that we have to spend hours on end every single day. Maximum, even half an hour a day, concentrated, focused, you know, set aside for God is really, really excellent time that you will spend with God, quality time that you'll spend with God. But you need to sacrifice. Jesus departed. Jesus went to a desolate place. He was intentional. He created the time. He created the distraction-free zone. Eventually, when he had finished, Simon and his companions did come for him. And they said, they found him and everyone's looking for you, they said. He was in demand. Okay, he was in demand. There were other things that were demanding his time. And I'm not saying that you guys don't have any demands on your time. You do. But you need to sift through and prioritize what it is that's important and vital and crucial in your life. If your relationship with God is the most important relationship, which it is in your life, then you need to be doing things about it. One last thing I would like to say as I close is that many of us are sincerely, and I mean it, sincerely desire to, you know, to find, to discover God's will and purpose for our lives and fulfill that. And if I just ask for a show of hands, I'm sure all of you would show me your hands, that you'd want to discover what God wants you to do, what God's plan for your life is. But that discovery is only possible within the framework of a relationship. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. This is what the Lord Jesus says when he is speaking about how God reveals what he needs to do while he was on earth. This is what Jesus says. He says to the people, the Jews who were complaining, "Then Jesus replied, 'I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed.'" The Father loves the Son. There's that relationship. That's that open channel, guys. That open channel. If we don't establish a relationship with God that is personal through a daily devotion, through regular fellowship, if we don't commit and make that our own personal habits, then God does not have a place or a framework or an environment in which to reveal his direct will and purpose for your life. God not only needs that environment to reveal it, but also that's where he gets the assurance and confidence that it will be accomplished by you. If we don't make time for what God considers and deems the most important, which is his relationship with you, with me, with each one of us, your purpose in life is almost meaningless to God without a relationship there. You know, just as a farmer would not waste his precious seed on land that is not prepared, that is not tilled, the farmer, before he starts sowing his seed on the land, he would actually, I think in modern times now, they would use tractors where they would create burrows. They would just turn the soil upside down, you know, and in the olden days, they would use the oxen, and then they would just plow the land, and that would create furrows in the land. And that's called tilling. Without tilling that land, he wouldn't waste his precious seeds on it. And that's the same with God, friends. If we want to discover God's purpose for our lives, we just need to allow him in our lives and be in a relationship with Him and walk with Him every single day, just like Jesus did. As we move on from this topic of daily devotion and connecting with God and walking with God personally every single day, I want to really encourage you to remember that this is the most important relationship in your life. There is no greater relationship in your life than this. And as the one that is the most far-reaching, the most fulfilling, we need to invest. We need to create the time like Jesus did. We need to create the distraction-free zone in our lives like Jesus did. We need to sacrifice and put other demands on the side like Jesus did in order to connect with God every single day. Without that connection, God will find it difficult to actually input His purpose and His calling upon our lives. It says, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, He departed and went to a desolate place. And there He prayed. Just look at your own life right now. Those of us especially who have not set aside a time that we're going to connect with God one-on-one, regularly every day. What needs to give way? What needs to be sacrificed in your life so that you can make time for God every single day? And I don't mean your academic pursuits, by the way. Other things that need to give way, guys. But whatever it needs to be done, let's just make a decision right now before God as those who are in this really amazing relationship that God has privileged each one of us with through His Son, Jesus Christ. How much do we value that relationship? Is that relationship so valuable to us that we are ready and prepared to sacrifice ourselves